Welcome back. How did it go staying in your body over the break? It's always good to afterwards just say, how did that go? Eh, not so good. I forgot. I forgot. It's practices so much about forgetting and then remembering. Oh, it's good. Glad to be back. My name's Matthew Grad, and I'm sitting in, of course, for Sekula and Jessica while they're away. So it's really lovely to be back with the Sunday Sangha. I really enjoy being able to sit in when the opportunity arises. So good to see you. So for those of you who got the email I sent out yesterday, it said that the question I was going to be exploring this morning was something like, has Hollywood defined our notion of equanimity? So what I meant by Hollywood was these more like either through our culture or media or our own idealization, do we have a particular sense of what equanimity looks like for us that is maybe a little unhinged from the reality of what equanimity, the idea of equanimity, has for our own practice in terms of real practical means, how we can connect with equanimity in a way that's a bit more spacious than some idealized version that we might have of it? So I was just reflecting on experience I had on Friday. I took the day and went off with a friend and did some hiking in the gorge. And it was in the middle afternoon, so we were coming back from that hike, and there was a lot of traffic. So there was, and we were in kind of the center lane and behind a truck, and I wasn't driving, I was a passenger. So the vehicles are zipping by on the right and on the left, and we're just like in this middle lane, and I'm just getting a little impatient about it. Like, maybe we should change. I didn't say anything, so I'm feeling a little anxious. And then later on, so it all worked out. She moved over, changed lanes, and we were back in the flow again. And we were going up Northeast for 39th towards Hawthorne, and there was a place where the lane was, two lanes were merging down to one. So it was really backed up. Again, this is like 3 in the afternoon. So it was, and so she was very sensitive person, very sensitive. So she was able to tell just by the fact that I was grinding my teeth, pulling my hair, and my head was like turning red, that, how's it going? being stuck in this like standstill traffic. So, and then my response was, okay, well, here's somebody that really knows me as like this, Dhamma teacher, really, have all my stuff together, and I've been doing this for a long time. So there's a little bit of like, oh, I got to pull this together and be like really equanimous about whatever's happening. So it was amusing. So there's something else that is at play in a situation like that, where equanimity is not really completely blown. And let me, I so I wanted to look at that this morning. What is it that is, say, below the surface of our idea about what equanimity looks like? Is it just like sitting in the car when there's a lot of traffic and just being super calm and it's just fine? And yet it's true that I do have a little preparation for the evening's class on Friday night, but it's okay, it'll be fine. And so is there something down underneath that equanimity is still alive and well? So I want to pause and just share with you a lovely discourse that the Buddha gave having to do with six sense bases. And he talked about the six sense bases, those being eyes, ears, nose, touch, what have I missed? Sound, taste, and mental, and the mind, say, and there are other objects. Like for the mind, it would be thoughts and images and fantasies and even emotions. So he talked about what equanimity is like with regard to these sense bases, both in terms of one who is practicing the Dhamma, one who's following the Buddhist teachings, and one who isn't, just as Ajahn Jeff translates it, as a ordinary run-of-the-mill person. And so he says, the Buddha says that, so what is equanimity with regards to these senses for the ordinary run-of-the-mill person? And for the ordinary run-of-the-mill person, then the equanimity, there is an equanimity about sight, sound, smells, taste, touch, and mental objects, but it doesn't go beyond that. It doesn't go beyond the sight, sound, smells, taste, and so forth. And so what he's pointing to there is that there's a sense of it's more like indifference. So looking at the sign that says right lane merges ahead or whatever it might be, is like, I don't really care. So it's an indifference to it, or an indifference to a sound. So it just doesn't bother you one way or another. You're just, you don't care. Now for one who is a practitioner, and is on the Buddhist path, then for them, with a sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, mental object, what comes up for them is a sense of equanimity that arises out of the seeing for it actually the way it actually is, that all these objects are transient. They're arising, they're passing, and that they're not to be clung to, that clinging to them will create stress, will create stress or some level of suffering. And not only the clinging to them, but just by the mere nature of their transiency, that they're inherently stress generating, if that makes sense. So we live in, as humans, we live in a world in which really everything is arising and passing constantly for us. Everything that we take as being stable is not stable, and on a certain level we understand that. And so that, as particularly through a meditation practice, we can see that there's like a bit of a hum of anxiety that is can be very subtle around not being sure of really having the experience of things that we rely on and depend on, that they're not there for us. The body is getting older, a relationship ends, the car breaks down, and so forth. So it's the equanimity that arises with regard to the objects that come in through the senses, that arises out of the understanding that everything is in motion and moving. This is what the Buddha talked about in terms of equanimity for someone who's, practicing, trying to practice the Buddhist teachings, looking for a sense of well, happiness that is not enmeshed in external objects of various kinds that are not reliable. Ajahn Chah called them. Not for sure. Anicca, he would translate as not for sure, unreliable, undependable. So, with regard to the sense of equanimity that is available to us, the question that I've been contemplating, a couple things is that one is what I've been reflecting on is equanimity about the sense of, a certain number of breaths per minute, very slow breaths, nice pulse, very, very even, a sense of just an unruffleable, is that a word, calmness, like this ease. It can't be disturbed. We just be our meditation. This is like this real peaceful sense of well-being. And is that that's the image we may have of what it means to live equanimously. And sure, it's great. I mean, it's true. If we can use that sense of like wanting to chill and calm no matter what's arising and passing, that's wonderful. It's something that we should do because when we get too agitated, of course, then we're going to be likely to behave in ways that are not really rooted in a sense of being present with just what's arising. But sitting there in the car seat on 39th and sensing this, is there sensing the impatience, the lack of control? It's like, why don't you just, if you just turn here, you get off 39th, we just go down, it'll be fine. So the lack of control, which is something that an aversive type really craves to have that kind of control over everything. So there was no control, and I couldn't say anything inappropriate. So because I had an image to maintain. But underneath, there is a possibility of this reservoir of what is it? It has to do with an awareness, a presence of just being with what is. So it doesn't exclude impatience, aggravation, hatred, infatuation, panic, regret, doesn't exclude any of those things. Those are just welcome to arise. They are the stuff of life that arises and passes naturally on its own. And as Ajahn Sumedho says that when we are committed to or trust in awareness, then whatever arises, it all belongs. It's a recognition that things are arising and passing out of conditions. So this is a sense of being able to hold that understanding, like the Buddha was talking about, realizing that all of the passing show is just simply the arising and fading away of phenomena. And that includes this sense of just wanting to jump out of our skin. It's like there's something there that it's not, it's so equanimity, like so many things on the path, these beautiful qualities are qualities to be cultivated. So whether it's metta, the sense of kindness, or the sense of compassion, there's a component of them that of them in terms of the path that invite us to cultivate them deliberately. But then there's this other sense that that I'm finding is useful and quite essential is, in addition to cultivating, there's just this aspect of recognition. So it's just recognizing that things are arising and passing. There's this sense of ease that can be recognized in the midst of the tumult of our daily lives, while at the same time recognizing that we have a certain I always like to recognize this because there have been times where I've just been pushed beyond my limit. So we recognize that we do have limitations about when this sense of recognition of things just being as they are, there's sometimes where we just don't have access to that. You know, it's only happened a few times in my life. For other people, you know, have had much more difficult lives, and it happens on a more regular basis where just a really acute trauma occurs, and it's like, okay, and you know, this is beyond my boundaries. But I mean, even being able to recognize that this what's arising is beyond your limits is just an amazing occurrence when that is able to happen, that you realize, okay, I'm just at the mercy of circumstances. But just generally speaking, this recognition of the state of, yeah, it's fine. I'm not behaving in a way that might inspire a sense of respect, awe, and appreciation at the moment. If it may inspire doubt about what is this guy's been practicing for decades, and you know, it's like he's still got an issue with what is this, you know. So it's like it's fine that what's happening there is just the arising of the ego self about certain kind of images. Like it's just natural, it's arising out of these conditions, and we can just recognize that, and it can be a real support. But what I wanted to suggest today is that equanimity, that maybe we can free ourselves from this certain kind of idealization of what equanimity looks like from the outside. Yeah, so to give ourselves room for just like just being the expression of past karma, karma meaning just our habits, our conditioning, that who knows how far back they go, but they're still coming into play. We talked on Friday about even for somebody who has attained a level of full awakening, of full freedom, that for them, past karma is still playing out. So habits are going to be generated. They just don't have any place to land. For a person like that. But for us, they're still landing on, when I say they don't have any place to land, it's because the ego has been seen through thoroughly. The self has been seen through thoroughly, and it's no longer fooling someone of that sort. But we could also get to that state where we're not so much fooled by it either, on occasion. But until that is something that is steadfast, it's still gonna, these emotions, these past conditionings and habits, the past karma, they're gonna find a place to land for us, and they're gonna take hold and really shake us. But we can recognize that doesn't mean that equanimity is not in play here. If we're able to embrace and just say, it's just arising and passing, and I don't know why this is even occurring. So just yesterday I was on my bike, on my e-bike, coming back from somewhere. I was like somewhere around here, and I remember I was on Northeast 47th, and I was approaching Sandy, and then out of nowhere this sense of like, I didn't know who I was or what I was doing, and was like really disoriented, and it was like a little bit of a panic, a sense of I don't know if you ever have like what, and it just kind of came up through the body, but I was able to recognize that. I mean, does it is this you know I don't know where it came from. It just came, and then it just goes. These things just come and go. This is not really anything that we need to obsess or be concerned about for the most part. They're just like, whoa, that was interesting. Just kind of, and then it left. So what was cool is that there was that ability to just be present with for whatever reason, maybe because I was on the bike and you're really trying to be alert for all kinds of potential hazards, that I was very present. I just thought, ooh, and it just kind of went away. So these are the things that occur to us as that occur to us as we're, as we're human beings. These things just arise and they pass, and so if we can accommodate them, then that I think is what equanimity is. It's just like recognizing that this is just the play of conditions that's happening. Then that it can be available for us. Okay, so I think that's enough about equanimity. I have maybe 1 or 2 minutes left before we'll do our dedication. So I wanted to say something about Easter. I went on, so I said, "Oh, it's Easter." I didn't realize that it was Easter. So this morning I went on to Wikipedia, looked up Easter. Well, what's Easter about? Because I'm a Jew. I don't have any idea what Easter, so much what Easter is about. So I look went on Wikipedia. I mean, obviously I knew it had to do with resurrection and so forth. So I was reading a little bit about it, and I came across this quote that I liked. So there's an association with Easter, has some association, as I'm sure some of you know, with Passover, Jewish holiday of Passover, in that like the Last Supper was like a Passover Seder, they call it. And so, yeah, and there were a few other things they were saying that were connected with Passover. But as Jesus was talking to his fellow, talking to the apostles at this Last Supper, and as I understand it, he was just preparing them for his crucifixion. And then the apostle Paul says in Corinthians, he says, "Get rid of the old yeast, that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are." So this is like, so he's talking, get rid of the old. Now this is referring to when the Jews were finally able to leave slavery under the governance of this Pharaoh. They really had to get out fast, if you know this story. So they had bread, but they didn't have enough time to let it rise. So it was unleavened bread, so it's flat. It's called matzah. And so that's what they took. And this is a reference: get rid of the old yeast, that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are. So I have no idea really what that means in terms of Christianity, but I'm thinking as a Jew who's now Buddhist, I'm thinking, what is that? What is this like? So that you may be a new batch without yeast. And it was just occurring to me, what is that yeast? And the thought was that there's something in this that's a key factor in the Buddhist teachings. It's avijja, which is usually translated as ignorance. But I like to think of it in terms of more like not knowing any better, or just misapprehending, or just not seeing things very clearly. This is avijja. And the most basic component of avijja is not seeing clearly into the nature of the self or the ego as being something which arises out of conditions and passes out of conditions. They're arising and passing. So I'm thinking, to be our as we actually are, as Paul was saying, maybe that's something like a new batch, where we're no longer confused or fooled by the operation of the self and the ego. So that has, I'm sure, nothing to do with what this means in terms of Bible study, but sometimes it's fun to take these what seemed like profound and deep phrases and kind of extract something about them that's meaningful for oneself.